La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou, 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 font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.
Rugby friends, and welcome to a new edition of the French Rugby Connection with moi, Véronique Lindieu, your host, and my co-host, le Toulousain, pas anglais, Monsieur Tom Dixon.
That's me. Welcome, everyone.
Yes, and so you must be really, really looking forward for this weekend, because obviously in the Champions Cup we have Leinster, who will play against Toulouse. And Toulouse was beaten by Leinster last year, 40-7 in the semi-final. So payback time for Toulousains.
And payback time for the Ireland, France and the Six Nations as well.
Indeed. They lost 32-19 on the 11th of February. Oh, that did hurt because it put a break on the, I think it was the 14th consecutive victory from France.
Yes, indeed, indeed. But yes, of course, I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. There are even respected, sensible journalists for big national titles who say, is this the most important rugby game ever? It's absolutely wonderful to think how it's going to go. And it's at sensible o'clock. It's at 3 p.m. local time, so 4 o'clock in France. Mm-hmm. It's in the Aviva Stadium in Dublin, which is beautiful and atmospheric.
Amazing stadium. Absolutely amazing.
Even Stade Toulousain have been arranging flights to take over fans. I'm not joining them, but I did see an offer that involved a flight, the match, and a flight back on the same day on Saturday for less than €500.
Right.
So it was feasible for those who have €500 and time. But it's exciting. I'm sure there will be support for Stade Toulousain if we start playing our game.
But I think majority will be supporting Leinster. So they will have the crowd behind them. But it's going to be a great, great game. But already, you know, they've had a few casualties, both Leinster and Toulousain. So Leinster is losing James Lowe, and Toulouse will be without Melvin Jaminet.
I think you're half right. I think before this kind of game, there's a lot of rubbish put out to the press and game playing. And I know Melvin Jaminet had to look at the television the other day. He's very badly injured. But James Lowe, I'd be surprised if he missed the match. So it's a bit of gamesmanship saying this guy's ill, don't you think?
We'll see, because James really suffered a freakish injury, you know, last weekend. So I doubt very much he will be there alongside Melvin Jaminet. We injured his ankle. We should be back probably in June. So Leinster will be without the star winger, James Lowe. You are saying he will be there. I'm saying he won't be there. We'll see.
I think we can agree on Johnny Sexton not being there.
correct. So Johnny Sexton was injured in the groin area. Jamie Osborne injured on his knee. Ronan Kelleher, shoulder. Joe McCarthy, ankle. And Martin Moloney, knee. So
everyone has injuries at this time of the season, but I must say that the list is quite big and impressive because they're all teams with impressive players. But Ange Capriozzo is out as well. His knee went very badly again.
It wasn't his knee, it was his omoplate, which is his shoulder blade.
Oh,
that got injured.
My medical French isn't good enough. Oh, my medical language. Oh, dear.
You say it in omoplate, so yeah, that's part of the shoulder. It's the second time he suffered from that injury before the Six Nations as well, so it's a recurring injury. So please, Andrew, you know, get well soon and take it easy for the next few weeks.
I'm sure he listens to the pod.
And, of course.
And we've got Wayne Barnes on the whistle. We like him. He tends to keep the game moving, and though he doesn't hesitate giving reds when they're due, he prefers to keep things moving and go with the rugby rather than the box ticking exercises. So,
and he speaks perfect French as well. You can hear him saying allez, 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 laissez. No, it's a breath of fresh air.
I saw him
when Barnes.
I met him at the Marché Victor Hugo before a European match a few years ago, where he came and mixed with the Toulousains who were buying their Sunday food and having their Sunday lunchtime drink before a European match. And there was the referee standing at the bar with us drinking water, because obviously he's going to run around a lot. But he's also an extremely nice gentleman. So look forward to that. And if I say that twice, do you think he'll give some favouritism to Toulouse? He's a very nice gentleman.
he's a fair referee, I have to say. I'm just hoping that this time round, some of the try will be better examined by the Irish TV. And that's all I'm going to say on that point. So it's going to be very exciting from the Toulouse perspective. I think it would be the usual suspect.
They haven't announced the team yet, but one can only expect that it's the best of the fittest ones. And of course, they've just had a week off, as have Leinster. Leinster sent their B team to a match and they got thrashed 62-7. Against the Bulls, which was in Pretoria in South Africa. So obviously they weren't going to send Tadhg Furlong, Gary Ringrose, Josh van der Flyer to put on an overnight flight followed by another flight to Pretoria the week before a big match. So there's no ill feeling about that. And Toulouse sent a B team to Paris at the weekend that we'll mention later and got beaten.
Do you know when was the last time that Leicester won the European Championship?
No, I guess about 6 or 7 years ago.
No, 5 years ago in 2018. Oh,
my memory tries to push it back that little bit further.
Yeah.
We've still got 5 stars on our shirts, though. We're still the only people with 5 stars.
Yes, and it's proving an extra impetus for Leicester to win that game. Not only the semi-final, but then the final to get a 5th star. To basically to equalize with that Toulousain.
Catch up. So, have you seen they've announced next year's final venue?
Yes, it's going to take place in the Spurs Stadium.
Yes,
correct.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and they do have to announce it a year in advance because there's an awful lot of logistics that needs sorting out. Mm-hmm. And booking these weekends is difficult, as Bruce Springsteen clashed with Racing 92 last week.
Exactly. Do you know how many times Leinster has played in a semi-final?
Well, no. You're Madame Statistique. You'll have to enlighten me.
Ah, it's called doing some research, my friend. So it was 7 times. They won 4 times and they lost 2 finals. So, and Stade Toulousain, as you know, won in 2021 in Twickenham. I know because I was there against La Rochelle. And La Rochelle last year won against Leinster in Marseille. Oh. And it was very, very close. It was 21-24. So,
you want finals to be close, really, don't you? It's the excitement.
Yes.
Sometimes the defensive play is too strong and they don't get a chance to play. But when you say 21-24, that means tries were scored. So it's not a 6-3 match.
No,
that would be awful. So, no, Veronique, I'm just so excited. I don't mind who the players are. They will be the best, the strongest at the time. I don't really mind the style of play because both teams will have to adapt to each other's style of play, and they will do a bit of, well, I can beat you at that. If you do this, I'll do it better. But the people who talk about it being a match of the century, it is really about the fundamental professional era dichotomy between the robot massive line of players across the field that you can't get behind, and the dreamer who throw it wide and do outrageous kicks, the more maverick teams. And so the hope is that the Mavericks will win it for the fans, which of course means we predict Toulouse 21, Leinster 15, don't we? That's my prediction anyway, for the good of rugby and for the good of Toulouse.
Yes, of course. Yeah, I'm really wishing a win for Toulouse. But Leinster is such a strong team, you know, that stage under the reign of Farrell as well. So, and their number one, Leinster, is basically the Irish team as well. You know, I think it's a bit like Toulouse. Majority of the players in Toulouse play for France. So it might be a bit like a déjà vu.
Déjà vu all over again.
Exactly, exactly. So now let's talk about the other Champions Cup game, which will take place on the 30th of April at the Stade Matmut Atlantique, which is in?
Bordeaux.
Correct, yeah, Bordeaux.
It's a lovely stadium, and what's extraordinary about a modern stadium is that the lighting is very good, because nowadays in homes, in shops, people have LED lighting, even in cars, and it's magnificent how different it is to the old stadiums where they spend 20 minutes firing up the old gas lamps to keep it going. So it looks really like high definition when you're there. It's lovely.
Oh, interesting. Interest. 42,000 tickets have been sold. It's a sellout stadium. And I can foresee that it would be mostly yellow and black. You see, there will be some Exeter fans, you know, coming down. But yeah, it's further away for them to travel.
Well, it's not nothing for La Rochelle supporters to travel. So they do have to make the effort. It's at 4 p.m. in France, 3 p.m. in the UK. So people would be able to drive there. In a day, was it? Probably about 3-hour drive.
Yeah, it's not that much.
Don't overlook the Brits. Bordeaux as a city is obviously famous for its wine. And this time of year, they're absolutely invaded. Sorry, I mustn't use that word. There are an awful lot of Brits out there doing wine tastings to taste the new vintage. And there are direct EasyJet flights to Bristol, which isn't far from Exeter. There's lots of travel out there professionally and for leisure. So I think we might see quite a few. Exeter fans are brilliant fans as well.
Okay, so maybe a few thousand.
Yeah.
Maybe 2,000 and 40,000, you know, French supporters. Something like that. But we'll see. But anyway, it's going to be a fantastic atmosphere. I mean, I have to be honest, I think that La Rochelle is going to bag it.
Yeah, I think Exeter's game is largely based on being strong up front, and nobody can be strong up front as much as La Rochelle. But I know that's a bit out of date. I think Exeter have been cleverer and better than that recently. And they've done very well to get where they are.
They need to behave in their tweeting comments, as you know. They got fined. I think £10,000. I forgot to.
Yes, but it was £10,000. It was Jack Newell, and but the money went to a very good charity. His name I can't remember. So it didn't get lost.
No. But so there is a rule, you know, never ever criticize the referee, especially on social media. You know, there is a line that mustn't be crossed when you are a player. Or you get fined, or if you are a trainer as well, you know, many times. Yeah. Was it Bougeal who got fined, or who got... Oh, and our friend Ronan O'Gara as well.
Yes, talking of La Rochelle, he's been banned from the touchline, I think, about four times this season. He's been up in front of the piece. And they all sign a code of conduct with their clubs saying they won't do these things. They're just only interested in the paragraph about money.
Such an interesting character, Ronan O'Gara, as well, because his French is really, really good, but whenever he speaks, you know, he uses the F word. So he's using some French and then F word, you know, on a regular basis. So that's quite entertaining. And he's passionate, 46 years old. Had a stint as a defense coach for Racing 92 before inheriting, you know, Ocean. And look where they are now.
He is the undisputed historic king of the European Cup, isn't he?
The Champions Cup, indeed.
As a player, I remember what. One year, Munster were playing Castres in the Cup, and Castres was having work done at their stadium, so they played Toulouse at the Ernest Vallon. So, of course, I went along to see some quality rugby. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. And they played for 83 minutes and Castro were in front. So in the 84th minute, Ronan O'Gara scored a penalty to win it. And he did that in so many matches.
Oh,
so tenacious for club and country.
Yeah, a little bit of a sexton.
La Rochelle this weekend is if Jonathan Donty is off sick. There are rumours about that. But as I said, that may be management speak to disrupt the training of the opposition.
Actually, according to L'Équipe, you know, Jonathan Dady will not be playing. So,
another test between us.
Well, we'll see. It doesn't look very positive. But we'll find out. We'll find out soon. Yes, Danty, they've got apparently 5% chance to play against Exeter. According to Ronan O'Gara.
We'll revisit this next week.
We will see. Yeah, definitely. You are very cynical, whereas I've been, we will see who was right, who was wrong. So not only we had the Heineken Champions Cup, but also the Challenge Cup.
Oh, yeah. I raise my beret to Toulon. Who are playing at 12:30 UK time, I think, 11:30 French time. That's unusually early. I checked that. In front of my namesake, Carl Dixon, the fine referee who was in Toulouse the other week, former Harlequin scrum half, of course.
Right.
He's in charge of the whistle for Toulon versus Benetton. I will make a point of watching that because Benetton have rather crept up off the radar for me. Yeah, Italy is getting stronger as a national team.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously it's linked to that. That should be a fantastic game. And, of course, there's Scarlets against Glasgow, who will provide the eventual opposition to the winner of Toulon versus Benetton. So keep an eye on that, too.
And I'm not sure whether Toulon has ever won the Challenge Cup title. Obviously, they won 3 times the Heineken Champions Cup.
Yeah. That'd be interesting. I wish them the best of luck. Well, I hope the glory days return. They've picked up a bit in the top 14 after a dodgy start to the season. So best of luck to them.
Definitely. So we have some exciting European Championships and Challenge Cup taking place this weekend, but we also have Le Crunch, or La Crunchette, if you want to call it, but it's a bit condescending. So let's stick to Le Crunch because of parity between men and women, in which I believe you've got the latest ticket numbers that have been sold.
We're starting to see reports that 60,000 tickets have been sold, which is going to make for a fantastic day out. Dear listeners, I thoroughly encourage you to go along to Twickenham. It's at 1 p.m. on Saturday, 2 p.m. in France, French time, which is at Twickenham Stadium. It's £15 for adult tickets and £5 for children.
So it's a bargain.
So a family of four can go out for £40. The cinema is more than that. And it's a proper show, the anthems and the swing low and the fans. Grown-ups might be able to have some proper beer. There's plenty of that available. And it supports Twickenham, so any money eventually goes back into the grassroots game.
Yes, definitely. And it will be very much, you know, the final, because France and England are now at the top. Last week, France against Wales won 39-14. They had two fights in the rain in the second half. But they won in front of 18,604 people watching the women's game. So really, really, really positive.
Oh, it is, especially for a game that wasn't expected to be very close. The Twickenham game is expected to be close. This is a grudge match against sides with similar resources. It must be said that over recent years, England are ahead in terms of number of wins, but I think the gap is closed, so it's anyone's game.
Yes.
The quality of the game is brilliant. These are the top two sides in the Northern Hemisphere, if not the world. And it's a winner-take-all game where the Grand Slam is going to be won.
Yes, and again, you know, France hasn't won since 2018, so you got something to prove.
Yeah.
You know, another thing I wanted to mention is that since 2017, 30,000 girls are now playing, girls or women, are now playing rugby, which amounts to a 74% increase. So the women's rugby game is really increasing in France.
Yeah, isn't that good? I'm so happy. It's very entertaining. It's equally as dedicated as the men's game, equally as skillful. it's great that it's starting to get the people behind it. I believe it's on television as well. Listeners, watch, if you can't be there in person for £40 for an entire family, you can watch it on BBC Two in England or France Deux in France. So it's on free-to-air television, which is really good for the game as well.
Amazing, amazing. And I have to raise my beret to a wonderful player that retired last week officially at the game. She was voted the best world player in 2018, the best player of the decade as well. Her name is Jessie Trabouillère. She got selected 76 times. She reached the grand age of 30 years old and she felt it was time for her to hang up her boots and focus exclusively working on a farm.
Ah, it's fantastic. No, great player of the game and one of the great characters.
Definitely. Anyway, so I'm hoping, you know, finger crossed, I'm hoping for France win.
I hope it'll be a close and enjoyable game.
Okay, yeah. I can hear. I'm reading your mind. So we'll see. So the top 14 is having a week off next week. What's been happening? I believe Toulouse is still top, but only just.
Only just by one point, because Toulouse sent the B team to Paris and got beaten. And La Rochelle, who are also in a semi-final this weekend, they played at home against Clermont and they pretty much thrashed them. So La Rochelle got their 5 points, the bonus offensive, and are at 70 points. Toulouse at 71, but I'm not worried about that for various reasons. But behind them, there's Stade Français on 64. And then there are 5 clubs with only 4 points between them. And only 3 clubs can go through to the playoffs. So 2 of the following are not going to make the playoffs.
Which ones?
Bordeaux-Bègles on 58, Toulon on 57, Lyon on 56, Racing 92 are out of the cut at the moment. They're also on 56.
Yes.
And Bayonne, friends of the pod, are doing brilliantly. They're on 54.
Your friends. is one of your chouchou. My chouchou is more brief because, you know, they're still there. You know, they won. That was amazing. Amazing game they played against Brive. Yes. Because I think the rugby gods were in favor of Brive, you know, last weekend, because Zach Henry missed a really easy penalty. That would have, at the end of the game, that would have meant that Brive would have lost, but he missed out. So, and Nicolas Sanchez in the money time scored a final kick. And the end result was 22-17. So success for Brive, which is very, very positive for the supporters in the white and black. But they are still behind Perpignan with 8 points. And Perpignan, wow, what a game. They won against Racing 92.
This is the part of the season where there are such surprises because teams have so much at stake and others don't. But yeah, hats off to Perpignan. That was an extraordinary victory. And it really juggles the bottom. Brive, I think, are extremely likely to go down, almost mathematically impossible for them not to.
We will see. I am more positive than you because I recall really well last year they got saved only in the last day of the top 14 championship. So anything can happen at that stage. And regarding Perpignan, wow. I mean, I think they want it more than Racing 92. Racing 92 turned up at, you know, expecting to win that game. And maybe they might have been slightly cockier in their approach, you know. Yeah. And Fiku said at the end, you know, they were hungrier. Perpignan is really, they're playing hard against being relegated and they're still in a weak position. That's why, you know, any points, you know, count double or triple at that stage.
They absolutely do. To remind you, the bottom team goes down. The second to bottom team doesn't automatically go down. They go into a playoff against the second top team of the Pro De Deux.
Correct.
So they do have a chance. But at the moment, for Perpignan not to be in that playoff game for relegation. They'd have to get ahead of Poe.
Yes.
Poe Pignon on 39 points and Poe 42. So mm-hmm. there'd have to be a surprise defeat in it. Now, if you remember, right at the beginning of the season, Poe beat Toulouse. And I said at the yes. time, it doesn't bother us at Toulouse. We're not in a battle with them. But it mm-hmm. might matter an awful lot to Poe at the end of the season. And it really does, because Poe would be in that 13th position out of 14 had it not mm-hmm. been for that win. And also, you have to, they're the only team to have beaten Bayonne at home. Mm-hmm. Although it wasn't at home, it was relocated to San Sebastian. So Poe have had two surprise matches, and they're out of just clear of the relegation zone at the moment, but that might change.
And you know, with rank 11?
The mighty Clermont.
No longer called mighty, because that's the 8 away defeat. Basically, you know, they were lacking of precision against La Rochelle, missed too many tackles, they were clumsy. And, you know, it took them 49 minutes to score their first try. And they're going to lose a Penaud. Penaud is Ligue Clermont. Gosh. Next season is going to move to Bordeaux. So they are in a very, very precarious situation.
Yes, but they have a new manager who we respect a lot, even though he is sometimes difficult to respect.
Well, hopefully he's going to work his magic.
This is the mighty Christophe Urias.
Yes, I mean, it's going to work its magic for the benefit of Clermont, but Clermont is really in a weak position in the top 14. Right?
But the one that really backs up the point of how exciting the top 14 is at the moment is Bayonne, the promoted team, beat the champion, Montpellier. 33-30. Yes. The score says it all. It was such an exciting match. It is full on. A real test match. And Bayonne, extraordinarily, they have won at their stadium, Jean Daugé, every game this season in front of a full capacity crowd. They did lose at home when they went to San Sebastian, as I mentioned, against Pau. But that's an extraordinary record for a newly promoted team.
There must be some rugby witchery at the stadium, Henri Daugé, because that's incredible. And it reminds me a little bit what happened to Castres as well. Castres was, for many, many games, you know, remain undefeated at their stadium. So,
yeah,
kudos to their supporters.
And not only did Bayonne have a full house in that all the seats were occupied, but Camille Lopez had a full house.
Oh, yes, Camille.
Do you mm-hmm. know what that means? He had a full house? He got a full house.
Enlighten me, please. I'm French, you know.
It's an analogy from the card game, but it means he got a try. He got a transformation, he got a penalty, and he got a drop goal. In fact, he had several of those, but once he got one of each, that's called a full house. And they're surprisingly only about one a year in the top 14. So beret off to him.
Definitely. Yes, yeah. And Camille Lopez, an oldie, a former player from Clermont, is really finishing his gaming days in
glory.
Absolutely.
Don't get too carried away. It's very nice that Bayonne have done well and they're beating the champion in their 8th. But their remaining games are away to Racing 92, home to Clermont, and then away to Lyon. So I don't think they're going to be knocking on the door of the top of the charts in 3 games' time, particularly. But well done to them. Can't take it away from how brilliantly they've done this season and how they've entertained us.
Definitely. And above, so you got Stade Français still on a roll.
Yes, they beat Toulouse. It's actually a surprisingly equal game, and some bits were moderately entertaining, but fundamentally, no, it's one to forget. We had Josh Brennan going off with concussion, so he's out for another week, and we had what looked like a horrible injury to Jaminet, but it turns out he didn't break his tibia, it's just a very bad strain, so he's out for... we'll see. Hopefully he'll be back before the end of the season.
Correct. I think he's due to be back, I think, around June. So the next games will take place...
the 6th and 7th of May. So
correct.
We have Clermont at home to Stade Français, which I just wish Clermont will wake up and show us a good game, followed by Lyon against Perpignan, probably a home win, Montpellier against Brive. As much as I'd like Brive to wake up, Pellier will probably more likely to wake up from their embarrassment. Pau against Castres. That could be a good one for Pau because that's 12th against 9th. I don't think there's much to play for except for the fun of it. I think Pau are probably clear at the bottom, but it may be critical. And then Racing 92 against Bayonne. I'd love it to be otherwise, but I suspect a home win. What do you think about Saturday night, the 9 o'clock spot, Toulon against La Rochelle? They're taking over the Marseille football stadium again. It will be a week after a European Cup semi-final, so La Rochelle are likely to be tired, but it's a week after a European Cup semi-final for Toulon, so they're both likely to be tired, but it's going to be a real gala game. They're going to be giving it everything.
Yes, difficult to say at that stage.
I think the strength of La Rochelle, if there are no people suspended because of red cards or injured because of the semi-final against Exeter, I would expect La Rochelle to go through. But who knows? And then on the Sunday night at 9 o'clock at night, it's at the stadium of Toulouse instead of the Ernest Vallon. It's Toulouse against Bordeaux-Bègles.
I suspect
both sides are targeting a win then because Bordeaux would see Toulouse weakened by the semi-final.
Yes.
And Toulouse will be saying, oh, it's only Bordeaux, we can beat them.
And depending whether our friend from the podcast, Mathieu Jalibert, might be back as well. He did say today that it's getting back on form, so watch this space.
Oh, fantastic. And, you know, I at this point, I'm contractually obliged to say a match of Stade Toulousain at home, 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday. How ridiculous that is for people who have to work the next day. Monday, the 8th of May, is a bank holiday for the coronation.
So oh, yes, of course.
So I get that bank holiday. So I'm okay for once going on a Sunday night in the centre of town.
Good, so you can go large. And so the ranking right now, you got Stade Toulousain with 71 points, followed extremely closely by 70 points by La Rochelle, Stade Français 64 points, Bordeaux-Bègles 58 points, Toulon 57, and then Lyon 56. So they are the top six behind Racing 92. They really have to win the next three games. 56 points, Bayonne 54 points, Castres 49 points, Montpellier 49 points as well, Clermont 46 points, Pau 42 points, and the last two, Perpignan 39 points, and Brive 31 points. So again, such an exciting top 14 championship. So later news I have regarding top 14 is that you have heard, but Luke Cowan Dickey, the Exeter player, had signed a pre-contract to play for Montpellier next season. And he was in Montpellier this week. He was due for a medical visit. I think he spent the first day having his medical visit. And unfortunately, at night, he went out to a few bars, had a little bit much to drink, and ended up in the police cell.
I didn't know that.
I'm afraid it's au revoir Montpellier for Luke Cowan Dickey, 29 years old, you know, played for England.
So you can take the front row forward out of Exeter, but you can't take Exeter out of the front row forward.
If you say so. And as you know, Artie, very famous Welsh player, has already played for Brive last weekend. Next week, we'll talk about the exodus of players that come to La Belle France. There is a salary cap in France, but it's 25% higher than the salary cap in England.
Indeed. There are also different ways of counting things, and there's exceptions for marquee players, and there's all kinds of different ways of making it seem like you're comparing apples with apples, but actually you're comparing apples with pears.
Well,
we'll cover that.
Maybe. But there is definitely a salary cap. So there is a... Because I know Clermont got a fine this year because they went over the salary cap. So you see that rules apply. They do apply. Like, I'm not going to say anything about Saracens.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. You love them too much. We've had such a good Pro Day season, and it's carrying on. This weekend, there is Montauban versus Carcassonne, which is a relegation battle, and there's Vannes versus Colomiers, which is a French Rugby Connection presenter battle.
Yes, indeed, and I have to highlight, you know, the Pro D2 is an excellent competition to watch. The Pro D2 is a very sleek and professional and competitive league as well. We're very keen to talk about every week.
On Saturday, the rugby starts with the Women Six Nations, a proper international, really strong, going on to Leinster, Stade Toulousain. There's actually the Scarlets versus Glasgow in the evening as well on BT Sports 3. And weirdly, for one of the first times in my life, I shouldn't mention it on this podcast, but at 9 o'clock at night, Toulouse Football Club is playing at the final of the Coupe de France. Sunday lunchtime, we have Toulon versus Trevise, and then La Rochelle versus Exeter Chiefs.
Brilliant.
So, got lots on our plate.
So, rugby friends, enjoy your weekend. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou-glou-glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-dong. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.